really came up was whether we should open the mikveh during the day today. Last night they had scheduled a demonstration in Far Rockaway and in a few other the other surrounding areas around the five towns, and they had imposed a curfew in Lawrence and Cedarhurst. No one was allowed out of their house after something like 8 o'clock p.m. last night because they were afraid of riots. As these things have, I'm sure you've seen on the news, these things are on social media or whatever, that these things have escalated in a number of different places into terrible riots and sakana. So the shaila was, should we tell the women not to go to the mikveh last night and to open the mikveh during the day today? So that was a, I mean, thank God the way it turned out was that the people who were running the demonstration in Far Rockaway were extremely peaceful people, and they invited the Jewish community to join them, and the Jewish community did join them, and it was just a very peaceful march, down a couple of blocks, to demonstrate for racial equality, which is obviously something we do believe in. So that was that it turned out to be very, very nice. But there was concern, obviously, that it would lead to sakana. So we had the shaila whether we should open the mikveh during the day for women to go on Yom Shmini, not in Yom Shvi, obviously, but in Yom Shmini. So my initial reaction was, why would we open it during the day? Just wait one more night. Meaning, if a woman's afraid to go last night, so she'll go tonight. Meaning, why does she have to go today during the day if she can go tonight? There's nothing that's gonna. And most of the rabbanim felt the same way, and therefore the majority of the mikvaos did not open up during the day today. The Far Rockaway mikveh and the Cedarhurst mikveh did not open up during the day, but Rav Shai Schechter called his father, and Rav Schechter thought that they should open up the mikveh during the day today, for two reasons. First of all, he said he's not. How do we know for sure that if something happens last night, that it's not going to repeat itself tonight, and that a woman won't be afraid to go tonight as well? And second of all, why make her wait extra if she's already waited longer than she otherwise would have had to? So he thought that they should open up the mikveh during the day. And in fact, the Woodmere mikveh accepted appointments for the daytime today for women to be able to go. As it turns out, it was, thank God, it was nothing. And I don't think any of the women are going to be afraid to go out tonight. I think that turns out not to be a concern at all, because even last night, which was when it was scheduled to happen, it turned out to be a very, not only not a negative experience, but actually a very positive experience for the community, a real coming together kind of experience. Why would one assume it was going to be a one-night curfew? Yeah, so you need to understand that what was going on over here is different than what's going on in New York City. There hasn't been, and there had, any looting, and it was being led by responsible people. Obviously, the concern was that even though it was being led by responsible people, that it would attract outsiders. So the local African American community made it very, very clear to outsiders that they are not welcome if they plan on doing anything other than just an absolutely peaceful demonstration. I don't know how they got that word out, what kind of what kind of control they have over that, but it worked. Whatever they did, it worked. Also, the police department obviously was very much on, the local police department was very much on high alert and had doubled their staffing for the night. Are we, let's say there's a kind of, it's just a chashash whether or not a sakana will develop. It's not like there were riots last night, it was a chashash. Yeah, so some people thought that it wasn't right for Lawrence and Cedarhurst to declare a curfew because it caused so much panic for no reason. So anyway, that's but be that as it may, that's what they did. And I think a chashash sakana is a sakana. What does Gabe say? The Far Rockaway 1 a.m. Muslim community is really nice. I don't know what that means, Gabe.
If anybody's ever hung out in Far Rockaway at like 2 or 3 in the morning, all the people there are really nice.
Right, I forgot. You've probably walked from Far Rockaway to Washington Heights at 1 a.m. Okay. I miss your stories, Gabe. Okay.
Yeah, pretty close.
Pretty close. All right. Okay. So, and you hitched a ride because you didn't have any money or any credit cards, or and your cell phone died. And okay, so you ended up in the back of some drug dealer's van, and he was so kind. Okay, so we can. So let's begin. So today we're going to learn some Shinayin Hay, or we're going to start some Shinayin Hay. This is very Nogea Lemaisa, and this topic not only is it very Nogea Lemaisa, it's something that is the cause of much confusion in Hilchos Avelos, and that is the topic of when exactly does Shiva start and end, meaning when do we count the Shivas Yimei Avelos, when especially in a situation where the family members are split at some point. Some of the family members are accompanying the Niftar to Eretz Yisrael, some are not. Doesn't matter who's who, a Gadol Abayis, versus regular people who qualifies as a Gadol Abayis. So this comes up a lot, and sometimes you see blatant mistakes that are made in this area of halacha, and more often you see that there's just machlokas. Sometimes you have different members of a family that each ask their rabbi, and you'll have two people in the exact same situation that are being noheg different ways, which, by the way, is important for a rabbi to know, to clarify with the family, if they're sitting shiva together, to clarify with the family who their Rav is going to be, and if it's not you, then just say, ask that Rav, because you do not want a stira within a single family in terms of how they observe Avelis. As long as they're asking a responsible person, they're shaylas, so you don't have to, just because you have a particular Mesorah from your Rebbeim to pask in one way, the whole family is not doesn't have to accept that Psak, and it makes much more sense to follow a single unified Psak. So anyway, the Sugya starts in Moed Katan Dav Chaf Amud Aleph, where the Gemara just discusses where we even know that there's a din of Shiva to begin with, that there are 7 days of Avelus. So the Gemara tells us about the middle of the page on Daf Chaf Amud Aleph that Yosef Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba Rabbi Ami Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha Akila de Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar. They were sitting by the doorway to the house of Yitzchak ben Elazar. Nafak milsa mi benayhu, and the discussion revolved around the following: Minayin la avelus shiva. How do I know that we're knowing avelus for 7 days? So d'chsiv, because it talks about the nevuah, about the churban of Eretz Yisrael as a result of the averos that we do, as all of the nevuahs talk about. So the Navi Amos, it says va'fachti chagechem le'evel, that the Navi compares the evel to a chag. So ma chag shiva, just like chag is 7 days, so af avelus shiva, avelus is also going to be 7 days, meaning chag is shiva, whether you're talking about Pesach or whether you're talking about Sukkot. Shmini Atzeres is a regel b'fnei atzmo, and therefore it doesn't get counted, and that's why we have the assumption that chag is automatically shiva. So when we say that which was supposed to be chag now becomes avel, we assume that all of the days that were supposed to be chag now become avel, and therefore it's an equivalent number of days. So says Gemara ve'ema atzeres, but there's also a chag of Shavuos, the chad yoma, that's only one day. So maybe Avelus is really only one day. So Gemara says, no, we certainly intend to compare Avelus to all of the chagim, but ahu, the dimyon between Avelus and chag Shavuos, mi bay leilich de Reish Lakish, is needed to teach what Reish Lakish teaches us. Dam Reish Lakish, b'shur mebi de nesiyam, how do I know that when you hear a Shmur Rechoka, which is a whole separate sugi we'll talk about, that you only observe Avelus of one day? And we find that Atzeres is called Chag, and it's only one day. So in a Chinami, the Gemara answers, we learn from the comparison to Chag, between Avelus and Chag, that there's such a thing as Avelus Shiva, and that there's such a thing as Avelus of only one day. When is there Avelus of only one day? That's when it's a Shmur Rechoka. But in a typical case of a Shmur Krova, so we're noheg a full Shiva. The Gemara goes on to say how we know that there's such a thing of Avelus of Shloshim. And the Gemara tells us that it's derived from Nazir. So okay, that's Tam Nazir is a Shloshim Yom, but whatever it is, that's the din of Avelus of Shiva that emerges from the sugya in Moed Katan Daf Chaf Amud Aleph. Now we've already discussed whether Avelus is Daraisa or Darabanan, the basic Shitos in Rishonim, the Shita of the Rif in Brachos and Moed Katan, that Avelus Yom Rishon is Daraisa. The Torah quotes in Simshin Sadiches B'Shem the Gaonim, the Rambam in Parak Aleph Halacha Aleph as well, and the Ramban as well, that Daraisa is Yom Amisa, Rishitas Harayvet Avelus Yom Rishon is Daraisa, and Shloshim of Giyutz V'Tisporis is Daraisa, but Shiva is only Drabanan, and the Shita of the Ri, that all Avelus is Drabanan, it's just Aninus Yom Rishon that is Daraisa, and the Mechaber quotes the Shitas Harif, like the Ramban says, and the Shita of the Ri in Simon Shin Sadiches, and the Shach says that Kaimelon Kashitas Hari, like it says Shin Sad Tesif Sif Yud Gimel. Okay, but we already discussed that. So now let's discuss when Avelus starts. So the primary sugya of that, or at least the beginning of the discussion of when Haschalas HaAvelus is you have in Moed Katan on Daf Chav Zayin Amr Aleph, that the Gemara discusses on Chav Zayin Amr Aleph when the beginning of the Avelus is, and the Gemara tells us so the Gemara tells us in the context of talking about Kfiyas Hamita, right? The Gemara says Me'im Atan Rabban Me'im Asaykofenas Hamitos. When do you do the Kfiyas Hamita, which is a Kiyum Din of Avelus, which we'll discuss that as Hashem sometime soon as to what that even means. Mishayetze mi Pesach Beso Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says it's when the mace leaves the Pesach Habayis. That since the mace leaves the Pesach Habayis, the Krovim that are still there have to be Noeg Dinei Avelus of Kfiyas Hamita, and all the other Dinei Avelus Kfiyas Hamitos. Just one example of the Dinei Avelus, but the Rishonim point out who had in Nilas Hasandal and everything else, all the other dinim of Avelus. But Rabbi Yeshua Omer Mishay Yisaseim HaGolel, that it's when they close the Golel, whatever that means. We'll assume it means the covering of the Aron. Maisa Shemes Ram Gamliel Azakin. Once when Ram Gamliel Azakin died, Kevan Sheyatzim Pesach Beso, as soon as they took the Nifter out of the house. Amalem Rabbi Eliezer, kfumi tseichem. Rabbi Eliezer says you have to kfiyas amita. V'kim shenistam agolal. Amalem Rabbi Yeshua, kfumi tseichem. And then when you had stimas agolal, Rabbi Yeshua said it's time to do kfiyas amita. Amrulo, and they said to him, kvar kafinu al pizakin. We already did like Rabbi Eliezer. We already did a kfiyas amita because Rabbi Eliezer already paskined that we're supposed to do kfiyas amita at an earlier time. So how do we paskin over here in this? In this halacha, so Rabbein Chanan the Rif, the Rosh, they say Kaimelin Krav Yeshua that Ein Avelus El Mishi Sasem HaGolel, that Rabbi Eliezer holds all the dinim of Avelus are Mishi Yatzim Pesach Beisa, but we pass in Krav Yeshua that all of the dinim of Avelus begin Mishi Sasem HaGolel. It's an interesting question why the Gemara Dafka decides to tell us this in the context of Kfiyas Hamita, meaning of all the Nihuge Avelus, right? What would you think of first? That Kfiyas Hamita is that which they think of first. So the Tosar Rush explains, because that's a simon, that's the ultimate simon that a person is an aval. When it comes to ni'ilas hasandal, there are some people that go barefoot even when they're not avelim. And there are some people that sometimes aren't sitting on a high chair for whatever reason. They're just sitting on the floor because, I don't know, they're having a kumzitz or something. That's what they do, right? Gabe looks like he's sitting on the floor right now. So you have people sometimes sit because
barefoot.
What?
I'm also barefoot.
Also barefoot. Okay, so sometimes people do a variety of nihuge avelus without actually being an avel. So the only, but why in the world? And Gabe, don't say if your bed is upside down. But why in the world would a person ever turn their bed upside down if not for being an avel? And therefore, that's the simen muvak of a person being an avel. So that's the that's why it says kfiyas hamita. So good. So we have this machlokas. about when exactly the Ascholos HaVelos is, and we paskin like Rabbi Yeshua. Rashi in Ksubas Tavdalarim Bey says, Stimas HaGolol is the Kisui HaAron Shalmeis. Tosvos over there says that Rabbeinu Tam has a whole bunch of kashas on Rashi, and Rabbeinu Tam says, no, Stimas HaGolol is the Evan Gedola, the large stone that they place over the kever. So the Ramban in Torah HaAdam explains that Rashi means that if they were so same, Almanas Shalo Yipaseh HaChod, that they close it with having in mind that they're not going to open it up anymore. So then it's as if, so the mace is already munach bekever. Sometimes, though, they'll only use a coffin to transport the mace. And then when they bury him, they'll take him out of the coffin. They'll bury him bekarka mamish, like in Eretz Yisrael that they do, and Hasidim in America do. So if that's the case, then stimas ha-coffin is not stimas ha-golel. And the Ramban explains that Shitas Rabbeinu Tam is that the golel is an even gedola that they place over the kever to seal off the kever, not that which they are osa nefesh le kever, meaning not a tombstone, that which seals shut, seals the kever shut, not just something that identifies who is buried there. I saw in the Machon Yerushalayim tour, in the bottom of the tour, in the Hagos Va'aros printed in the bottom of the tour, in Os Hay over here, they point out that there are Tosos all over Shas that sound not that way, not like the Ramban's understanding of Rabbeinu Tam. Tosos in Shabbos and Tosos in Masech Sanhedrin are Mefurash, that Shitas Rabbeinu Tam is that the Golel is the Matseva that they put for Tziyun Kvaros, that it's not just something that seals the kever, and the Arzarua and Tosarash and Sanhedrin Mem Zayin Mem Beis and Chul and Daf Ayin Beis all seem to say like this. So that's it's a little bit of a tzorich iyun. But the Ramban in Torah Sa'adam at least thinks that Stimas HaGolol means the closing of the ground with a large stone. So the Rush in Siman Lamed Tes, after he brings many rayas, the Rush writes, Umikol ze muchach shestimas hagolel haynu achar shenikbar v'nigmar stimas hakever ba'ofar. So he says, no, not a stone. When they finish burying with dirt, va'af im regilin losei seven achar zman ala kever hashtemia nistam hagolel karina bay. And even if the practice is that they're going to put a stone on later, but now it's called stimas hagolel. Right, it's not mistaver at all that it would be the erecting a tombstone that would be akamas hamatzeva. You know, the practice is people do that based on Rikivega, people do that a year later, you know, meisn shtakech menalevad, you know, until Yud Beis Chodesh. So people sometimes do akamas hamatzeva a year later or 30 days later or at the end of Shiva and Eretz Yisrael, the minig is to do akamas hamatzeva. So it's not at all mistaver, but even if they're going to put some sort of cement or something down at the top of the kever, even that is not so mistaver. The Rush says much more mistaver, it's when the funeral is over, when the burial is over. When's the burial over? When you fill it up with afar. So if you look in Shinayin Hei Sif Aluf, says the Mechaber, Meimasai Chala Avelus, Mishanikvar V'nigmar Stimas HaKever B'afar Miyad Maschel Avelus, Matev Rosho. So he goes on to discuss in the Sandal and when that happens, but the point is that it's when you fill in the grave. In the Badei HaShulchan in Sif Katan and by the way, the Bach says that the Minhag Olam is like the Rush. Rashi Rabbeinu Tam would also be Moda, says the Bach, that the Rush is correct nowadays, that we don't do based on the way we do burial, everyone would agree that that would be the Haskalas HaAvelus. So Badei HaShulchan, Sivkat and Beis, based on the Marsham in Das Torah, adds that, you know, when exactly is that? Meaning, we bury a mace deep in the ground, 6 feet down in the ground, right? So what exactly is the stimas hagolel? When does the avelus begin? So you say, lemaina, you know, does it begin when you just cover the coffin with dirt, right, when the coffin is covered, or does it have to be totally filled in, the ground have to be all the way up to ground level, or maybe more, maybe you need a tell, you need a mound over the ground level, which the practice is to do, to make what they call a tsuras hakever, with a little bit of a mound above ground level. When is it going to be? So you'll say, who cares? Meaning, what's the difference? The difference is 5 minutes from one to the other. Well, the big nafkamina might be, what if it's Ben Hashmashos? And, you know, they get it in time to cover the coffin in the earlier day, but by the time they finish, it's already nighttime. Not so Nogel the mice in America, the cemeteries close before dusk, and that's, you know, they're for whatever reason, whether they're afraid of vandalism or whatever, but cemeteries are closed, so they would throw you out before then, so you'd have to get everything done earlier anyway. But that's a discussion. So the Badei HaShulchan writes, based on the Marsham in Das Torah, that v'nigmar stimas hakever ba'afar haynu shenigmar hakisui kefi anog laniach shom od afar, that it's you have to put enough dirt that it's actually elevated above ground, and it's not enough that you can no longer see the aron, or you can no longer see the body if you're burying without an aron. That's not enough. Ubichlal ze gamash nogim litzbor ofer ala kevrat shnasa kmo tel koton chashuv gemara kvura. He says you actually, says the Marsham, you actually need to make that mound until in order for the avelus to start. Until you do that, the avelus is not chal. Why is all that considered tzorach hakavura? I would think as soon as the coffin is covered or the body is covered, so kavura has already happened. Who cares that the ground is uneven and you have to like go down 5 feet and then up 5 feet, right? Meaning once the body is covered. So he says, because without that we'd be choshesh that a person would fall in to the guma, and that would be a bizayin lemeis. So it's considered tzorach hakavura to even out the ground. And the reason that making the tel is considered tzorach hakavura, making the little mound above the level of the kever, is considered tzorach hakvura, is because otherwise people won't realize that there's a kever there and they could just walk right over it, and that's also bizayin ames. So as a way to identify that there's a kever over there, so that's why you'll note at any levaya you go to, hopefully what they do is they bury all the way, and then at the end they make a tzuras hakever with the dirt sticking up a little bit above the ground, and that is when the avela starts. That is what the Marsham holds and writes in Das Torah. But it is important to note that the Rav Shlomo Kluger wrote many different Shaila Tshuva Svarim, and Rav Shlomo Kluger in Shut Kinas Sofrin says that no, even if they put just a little bit of dirt al panei kol agolel, they cover the top of the coffin, and it's not open at all, that's stimas agolel, even though they didn't fill in the entire thing. And the Aruch HaShulchan holds that way as well. If you look in the Aruch HaShulchan over here in Sif Aleph, he says as long as you can't see the coffin or the body anymore, that's the Gemara HaKvura. And in fact, no less an authority than the Magen Avraham seems to say that way. In Siman Ayin Aleph in Aruch Chaim, when we talk about an own name being potter from Kriyashman, from Tefillah, so Shulchan Aruch says that Misha Meis L'Meis, that the Yishchayev to be Mesabel Lav, even if it's Eino Mutal Lav L'Kovro, he's potter from Kriyashma Tefillah so long as he's an Onain, until the Avela starts, says the Magen Avraham, Umiyad Kishemaschilin Mahashlich Ofer Alameis Yikrav Yispalel. As soon as they start the burial process with dirt over the mace, he should say Kriya Shema and he should daven. So right away, the Avelus is over as soon as the mace is just barely covered. Why is this important to mention? Because sometimes you don't have the manpower to be able to do the full kavura. So you want to rely on maybe those poskim that will say just at least cover the coffin, meaning certainly in the COVID era when we were doing kvuros with a very minimal number of people, and there were some cemeteries that were not even allowing a minion of people in, they were just allowing three people, and you know, on a cold rainy day or something, you know how heavy that dirt can be. And the three people that come, two of them are women or whatever, you know, it's not easy to do the entire kvura by yourself. Plus, the cemetery did not want people doing too much of the work, so we would ask permission to at least cover the coffin, to at least do that much, to at least cover the coffin with dirt, and that's not so hard to do, and that way you can say that with confidence that we're relying on those poskim that the avelus begins right then, and that's called stimas hagola, and that would be the ideal, and that you were mekayim the kvura, that you actually did a kvura al yedei Yisrael without having to rely on the goyim coming with the machines or whatever it is that they use to fill in the ground. So that certainly would be the best way to go. So I'll take questions in silence, go a little further. The poskim also discuss Okay, Stimas Agol starts the Avelus. What if you did Stimas Agolel, and then, and it was Mamish last minute, right before sunset, and then they went home, and they didn't actually start sitting Shiva. They didn't have any Nihuge Avelus until after night, after nightfall. So we just say in such a case, would you say in such a case that the previous day could still count as day one of Avelus if they didn't actually do any Avelus on day one? Stimas Agolel happened. Let's say they're doing late, what day is today? Today's Wednesday. So late Wednesday afternoon, they're doing a kvura, and by the time they get home to their house, the cemetery's an hour away. Sometimes people from here, they have a levaya where they bury the mace somewhere out in New Jersey or whatever, or way out on Long Island. By the time they come back, an hour later, it's already dark outside, and they're not knowing Avelus until that time. So from the Lashon of the Mechaber, it does not sound like you have to be knowing any Avelus, right? The Mechaber writes, Mei Masai Chala Avelus, Misha Nikmar V'Nigmar Stima Sakever. He doesn't say anything about, he says, Eino Cholitz Menel, you don't have to take off your shoes till you get back home. Nowadays, our minig is to do it right away, but Stimas Agol, but it doesn't sound like that triggers the Avelis. It sounds like just the Stimas Agolel is what triggers the Avelis, that you don't need anything else beyond the Stimas Agolel. That's what it sounds from the Mechaber. And in fact, if you were looking Pischi Tshuva in Simen Shin Sadivav, Sif Katanal, if you quote the Radvaz HaChadoshos, Simen Tov Kuf Chaf Aleph, where a guy had a Shemua, Shemes Aviv, meaning someone told a fellow that his father died, and then one of his relatives told him, no, it's not true, that the Shmua was not MS. And then 2 days later, they told him, oh yeah, by the way, it was true, that dad died 2 days ago. Crazy story, but the Radvaz writes that you begin from the Shmua Harishona. You count the Shiva from the first Shmua that he had that his father died. But he wasn't knowing Avelus, because right away someone told him, no, it's not true, there's no Avelus. But nevertheless, you still count from the Shmua Harishona. So you would think Kal V'chomer over here, where he could have done Avelus right away, and he knew that it was, that he was an Avel. So from the Pashas of the Mechaber, it sounds like the Avelus begins that day, whether he actually practices Avelus or not. However, the Olar HaShulchan sounds that he does need to do some sort of Niyug Avelus in order to kick off the Shiva, because he writes, V'im Kain, Ein Shum Heker La Avelus, V'lchei Nogu Lach L'Tzamanol Miyad Achar Stimas Agolel. He says, that's why the Mechaber points out that the practice is to remove your shoes right after the Stimas Agolel, to make sure that we get an active Niyug Avelus done right away, so that we can kick off the Shiva, so that the Shiva can officially begin. That is what the Aruch HaShulchan, writes. Very often, I'll get the question when doing a Levaya. So one of the things that you prepare the family with is you tell them, obviously dress warmly if it's even a little bit chilly, because cemeteries are always 20 degrees colder. And you bring tissues, because people don't realize they're going to need tissues at the cemetery. You know, things like that, bottles of water if it's a hot day, things of that nature. But you want to be practical and give them directions. So one of the things you tell them is bring with you your Crocs or whatever it is that you're going to be wearing, because right after the kvura, you change out of your leather shoes. So you'll often get the question, why would I have to bring it with me? Why don't I just, I'll do better, I'll just wear my Crocs to the cemetery. What difference does it make? You know, I don't mind wearing my Crocs, I don't mind wearing my sneakers, I'll just wear them to the cemetery. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, no, it's not an inyan of that you need to be in your non-leather shoes after the kvura. You need to put on your non-leather shoes, meaning more accurately, take off your leather shoes after the kvura. And the idea is that that's an active Nihu Gavelus. And that way, no matter what happens later, no matter how much traffic you have on the way home from the cemetery, there you had an active Nihu Gavelus, and that Lukulei Alma will kick off the Shiva. So that's what we try to do. And that's what Rav Shlomo Kluger writes in a tshuva in Ha'elef Lecha Shlomo Simen Shin Yud Ches, and one of his other tshuva svarim in Simen Shin Yud Ches. I think the Ha'elef Lecha Shlomo was actually put together by someone else. It was a summary of many of Shlomo Kluger's tshuvas, because he wrote these very long tshuvas. Now, the Rush says, even though you begin the Avelus B'Stimas HaGolel, you don't need, meaning what the Mechaber quotes over here, you don't need to remove the leather shoes till you get back home. But he says, Nagu ba'ashkenaz, that alav v'imo chalos minalav miyad v'holich yachav l'bayis. That the minig in Ashkenaz was that they would remove their shoes right away after the stimas hagolel, even though it's not required. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch says, that that's our minhag as well. Okay, so let's get to questions. Just one question. Is the Ramban's explanation of Rashi's Stimas HaGolah the basis for Sturmbach we quoted earlier about the placement into the Aron being Yotzei form of Kvura? Yeah, Pashtus is that way. That's exactly what he's referring to. In Rebbe's experience, are people looking for a kula to not be knowing an extra day of Avel, so they want to be knowing that extra day? Usually they do not want to be knowing an extra day. Meaning, people are frustrated when Yontif breaks the Avelus and they only had like 5 minutes of Avelus. But people are not looking for an extra day of Avelus at the end of a long week. It's exhausting. They're usually ready for it to, maybe not 100% ready for it to end, but emotionally, but they're usually not looking to observe an extra day. That's at least in my limited experience, that's what I find. But again, everybody's different. Sometimes within one family, very often within one family, there are some people that are handling it different than others, and some people have different attitudes toward the Avelus than others. So generally speaking, generally speaking, what we're trying to do is we're trying to make it that we get the kvura done earlier and the shiva started earlier, so that you won't have that extra day. That is certainly, generally speaking, that is certainly the goal. Okay, so now let's get to what happens if the burial is going to be somewhere else. If the burial is not going to be in the city where the mace originated, where the person died. This starts with the sugya on Chav Beis Amud Aleph, right? The Gemara talks about this on Daf Chav Beis Amud Aleph in Meseches Mori Kata. Let's see if I can quickly find the Gemara. Not such a long daf. So the Gemara tells us, it's a long, it's a bit of a long sugya in terms of who goes where, Gadol Abayis is it's a lot to read inside, but the Gemara Chav Beis Amud Aleph tells us that those who do not accompany the mace to the kavura, as soon as they have hachzaras apanim, as soon as they turn their face away from the mita, they begin to count the avelus. Meaning, very often happens, mace is being flown to Eretz Yisrael, so the majority of the family goes to JFK or whatever by the cargo area over there where they give over the body. A couple of members of the family, one or two members of the family, are going to accompany the mace to Eretz Yisrael, but everybody who doesn't, as soon as they leave JFK, as soon as they leave the cargo area, so that's it. Their avelus begins right then, even though the mace is not going to have kvura until the following day. So the Ramban in Torah Sa'adam, page Kuf Samach Beis, says we dafka say that when you're molich may ear the ear. But if you're a kover in a beis hakvaros that's samuch li'ir, then the chozrim yishari ir are not misabel until they find out that he was actually nikbar. It's a very important chilik, the Ramban says. When you're going, you bring the mace to a totally different city, so the people who are staying behind start their avelus right away, as soon as they're machzir p'nehem. But if they're burying the mace in the same city, but we'll have to define what that means, the same city, but if they're burying mace in the same city, even if they're not going to the cemetery, the Avelus is going to wait until the Kvura actually happens. So says the Ramban. And the Rambam sounds that way as well. In Perak Aleph Halacha Hey, the Torah quotes that the Bahag never made any such chilik, and therefore the Bahag sounds like whenever you're machzir panim, even if it's in the same city, you'd start the Avelus right away. And the Torah says that the Rush, though, agrees with the Rambam. So the Beis Yosef is confused by that because he couldn't find a Rush that agrees with the Rambam. But again, I never understand this when the Beis Yosef questions how the Torah knows that the Rush held something. I don't know. Maybe the Torah had conversations with the Rush, but the Beis Yosef must understand that it's all only from his Svarim. So where do you see in the Svarim of the Rush that he agrees with the Rambam? But anyway, the Shulchan Aruch says like the Rambam, right? In Shulchan Aruch, it's very clear, the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Beis, Misha Darkon Neshloach HaMeis Limedina Acheres Lekavro Veni Meod Masa Yikaver Me'es Shiyach Supenei Mililvos Maschilin Limnos Shiva Ushloshu Maschilin Lisa Abel. That as soon as they turn away, they start the Avelus. But Hidavka says, Limedina Acheres, if they're sending him to a different location. But if it's not going to be a different location, then you don't have this din of Mishayachzru Peneihem. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, like the Shita of the Rambam. The Aruch HaShulchan in Se'if Ches quotes the Shita of the Bach, that you only begin the Avelus, Mishayachzru Peneihem Achidish, he says, you only begin the Avelus when you turn away if you don't know when the Stimas HaGolel is going to be. Meaning, because you're not going to, there's no other option. I mean, what else are you going to do? You don't know when the Stima Segolel is. So when are you going to start the Avelus? You're going to guess? You're going to guess when Stima Segolel is? So we have to define something else as that person's personal Stima Segolel. As his, so his Stima Segolel is when he takes leave of the mace. But if he knows when the Stima Segolel is going to be, then that's when he starts his Avelus. Meaning he really takes the teeth out of this din, Bizman Hazeh, right? Bizman Hazeh, where we have modern forms of communication, and he could be watching the whole thing on Zoom or something, so he knows that exactly when the Stimas HaGolel is, so says the Aruch HaShulchan, his Avelus will only start to count then. That's what he quotes from the Bach. The Aruch HaShulchan, however, himself disagrees with the Bach. And he says that the reason for the beginning of Avelus being when you're machzir panim is not because, it's not because you don't know about Stima Segolel. It's not because we need something, some starting point, because we don't have Stima Segolel. No, the reason is because at that point you're already nisyayish mimenu. You already have yeyush of being able to participate anymore, of being able to help anymore. And that's why it's the beginning of the Avelus. And that's what we assume lahalacha. That once you're nishyayish mimenu, and therefore you're machzir panim, that's already called nishyayish mimenu, that's when the Avelus is going to begin for those who remain, let's say, for example, in New York, when they send the mace on a plane to Eretz Yisrael. Now, Rav Shlomo Zalman in Mincha Shlomo, Chelek Aleph, Simen Sadi Aleph, Sivkat Mechavei, writes that he's not sure about that nowadays. And Rav Shechter, when we were discussing this during the Corona, during the height of the Corona pandemic, and we were discussing all of these interesting shilas about someone who's not able to go to the cemetery, but is going to be watching on Zoom. He might even say a hesped. He might even say a hesped on the Zoom, right? So do you consider that he's nisyayish mimenu, that he's already disconnected? So Shlomo Zalman was also mesupak about this. He raised the following safek. He says, "Umusupakni b'meishem alichanos from Chutz Laaretz Eretz Yisrael." What happens if they send a meish from Chutz Laaretz Eretz Yisrael? Even though he's going to start his Avelus right away as soon as he turns, as soon as he stops being Malav in the mace, he's on the phone the whole time with Eretz Yisrael, making sure the Chevra Kadisha knows, and the cemetery knows, and they're ready, and who the Maspidim are, and which relatives in Eretz Yisrael are going to be there, and setting up for everything that's going to happen there. That would still make him an onin. That's also basu yayin. And it could be he's part of mitzvahs the entire time because he's osik in such things. But it could be since the mace isn't there, and his doing mitzvahs is not going to be a blatant g'nai to the mace because the mace isn't present. Maybe Dino Rakosik Mitzvah, Dein Patur Min Mitzvos, Im Efshar L'Kayim Shneim. Maybe he's not going to be Patur Min Mitzvos. Maybe he's not. It doesn't have a din of an onin, and he has a din of an avel. So Rav Shlomo Zalman, back and forth, not sure. You know, normally when you have a tshuva la'alacha from a posek, so he's done, he brings rayas, and then says, and therefore the halacha is this. Rav Shlomo Zalman doesn't come to a conclusion over here. He says, I hear this way, I hear that way. He says, at least he shouldn't have basar v'yayin in the interim. Wow. So Shamazan seems to be saying, Avelos, yeah, Avelos is going to begin as soon as they turn away from the mace. Those who accompany the mace to the airport and no further than that will begin the Avelos as soon as the cargo people have the body. But basar v'yayin, they should wait until the body is actually in the ground because they're in close communication with everybody. So that's all if the mace is being sent somewhere far away. If the mace is being sent within the same city and not everybody is accompanying the mace to his final destination, even though it's within the same city, so then we said that that it's going to wait for Stimas HaGolem. So the Shach over here writes in Sif Katan Aleph, right, the Shach over here writes, Mashma Davka Kishok Masulir Acheres. Aval HaKovrim Beis HaKvaru Samuch Li'ir, HaChozer Mishari Ir, Enim Esablim Achi Amru Lem Shenikbar. They need confirmation that he's been buried. Ukamosh Kosov Ramban, V'chein Kosov Beis Yosef, we'll get to Arav Regel a little bit later. But the Shach points out that they need that if it's within the same city, they need confirmation that he's buried, and that's based on the Ramban in Torah Adam. The Ramban seems to mean that since they're covered the mace right there in a location that's not so distant, and they're right away going to come back on the same day, so you're only knowing Avelus together with the people who accompanied the mace when they come back, because until you find out that he's actually buried and that everything went smoothly, you don't know for sure that everything went smoothly. So their das is still on the mace until they find out that everything went smoothly, because they might be called upon to come help out. You know, there's a complication at the cemetery. They don't have your reservation or whatever. I don't think they call it a reservation, but whatever. They don't have, they don't have the proper information. The credit card is expired, whatever could be coming up. So you may have to run out and you may have to take care of it. If it's not, it's Israel. You're not getting on a plane to take care of it, but if it's a half hour away, you may have to run out and take care of it. That's how the Ramban explains. I was once in a the cemetery, and I saw one of the I was in the cemetery together with my cousins and my uncle, because it was for my wife's grandfather, and one of the tombstones said Po Nikbar, and it said the name Julius Berman, which is my uncle's name, and my uncle Baruch Hashem is alive and well, and my cousin Zev said to him, Dad, did you make a reservation? And he said, no, but I'm worried someone else might have made one for me. we don't call it a reservation, whatever, but there could be something that comes up at the cemetery, and when you're learning Avelis, you have to have some morbid humor, right? I think that's the fellow's gonna have to go still at the to participate. So until you find out that it's done and that he's buried and that it's over, so only then the Avelis starts. Now, what is called samuch in this regard? How do we define samuch? Meaning that's what the Shach says, that if it's samuch, then it's not when you turn away. It's only when you have confirmation that he's in fact dead. So that he's in fact buried. The Dagla Mervava over here discusses this issue, right? The Dagla Mervava, it's kedai to take a look inside. I don't think we're going to read it inside together, but kedai to take a look inside. The Dagla Mervava asks a stira in the Mechaber. That in Simon Shinayin Hei, he writes that when they're molich the mace to an ir acheres, those who remain behind begin to be misabel with mishiach supineim. But if they bury him besamuch le'ir, then those who remain behind are not misabel until they have confirmation, like we just said. But in the end of Simon Shin Sadites, he writes that if mace muta lefanav erev yantif, and you're choshesh that the day is going to end soon, Yantiv is going to start soon, so they send the mace to the Beis HaKvaros al yedei Akum, they send with Goyim to do the burial, they're maschil isabel right away as soon as they're machzir panin, even if it's samuch le'ir. So asks the Daglam Ravava, wait a second, I thought we said over here that samuch le'ir, you begin the Avelus only when you have confirmation. And over there we're saying that even if it's samuch le'ir, they begin the Avelus as soon as they're machzir p'neim. So he says, nearly on his daiti, No, over there it was Erev Yantif, and you gave it to Goyim. Why did you give it to Goyim? Because you're nervous it's not going to happen before Yantif, and you're concerned, and the burial is most likely going to happen on Yantif. And since on Yantif the Jew can't do it, even if it is Samach Li'ir, Dinu ki lo sholchem li'ir acheres. Then it's the same din as being sholech li'ir acheres. Why? Because the svara of being samach li'ir is that you might be able to come and help out. But if it's already yantif by you, you're not going to be able to come and help out. So the also ir becomes the same as ir acheres. Shaya hevrish b'neim hu kumosh kasa b'is yosef b'shem Ramban. Dikushu samach li'ir daitan shal aveil malav achi yachzor akrov v'yam shukavru. When it's samach li'ir, you're still thinking about, is it going to go okay? Do they need my help? Uber yantif samach l'sheicha k'shemasru lo v'chavim lo shayichze. But it's not shayich on erev yantif when it's samach l'sheicha. Chacham Asadim writes the same chilek in the Kuntros Matzevis Moshe, Oz Tes. And Rav Moshe writes like the Dugal Ravava as well, in Igros Moshe Yerdei Chilek Beis, Simen Kuf Ayin. That same svara of the Dugal Ravava. And therefore, the koveya of what's called Ir Acheres is if the Avel remaining in his city is still able to help with the Kvura if something were to happen. If it's such a distant location that he would not be able to help, then those who remain begin the Avelos right away with Hachzaras Panim. Otherwise, they would have to wait until the Shas Kvura. I saw Rav Simcha Bunim Kohn in the Art School Avelos book. He writes in a footnote, Amnam Adayin Sorach Biur, Ta'afilu Im Sholeach Hames La'Eretz Yisrael, meaning, I said before, you're not getting on a plane to take care of the problems that are happening in Eretz Yisrael. I don't know, maybe you are. There are people that fly to Eretz Yisrael rather easily, and certainly if something is going wrong with the Kavura and they feel like they need to be there, it's not like the old days where it takes 3 months to travel by boat to Israel. You get there in 10 hours, and you can, and sometimes, nowadays obviously doesn't work that way at this point, but, up until a few months ago, there are people like that. I saw a guy in Lawrence once, I told him I'm flying to Eretz Yisrael that night. He said, oh, send regards to my son. He's in Shalvim. So I said, okay, no problem. I'll send regards to your son. And that night, I got to Eretz Yisrael. My first stop was Shalvim. And I saw the same guy. I said, what are you doing here? He said, you told me you were going to Eretz Yisrael. I decided I'm going to go too. So I hopped on a plane and I went to Eretz Yisrael. Just like that. That's sometimes people, can do that. So certainly in such a, that was just to say hello to his kid. But you certainly to take care of something. So says Rav Simcha Bunim Kohn, v'tzarech lomar, dekivan shu kol kach rachok miiro, vein daito, Lazor ba'akvura, afilu miyesh eze minia, tzricha mazor b'derech acheres. Most of the chances of him hopping on the plane, he's so far, he's about as far can be. So that's got to be considered an irachok. Whatever he's going to do is going to be by telephone. As opposed to if the Beis HaKvaros is really not that far, so maybe you won't just take care of it by telephone. You'll say, I'll go, I'll take care of it in person, right? I want to see with my own eyes that everything's taken care of. So that whenever the natural thing to do would be to take care of it with your own eyes, to be there in person, so then that's called samuch. But if the natural thing to do would be to take care of it by telephone, then that's called ir acheres. As far as modern forms of communication, there's a tshuva the Netziv in Meshev Davar, Simen Ayin Beis. He talks about if you get a telegram or a telephone that a relative in a different city died and that he's going to be buried tomorrow or he's going to be buried in 2 days from now. So the Netziv says, start your avelos when he gets buried. Aye, what about this halacha when it's ir acheres? As soon as your machzir panav, it should be the avelus starts, and you don't have to wait till the burial. He says, no, that's a different story because when your machzir panav, your tipul with the mace is finished. As opposed to when you find out about someone dying in a different city, you haven't even begun your tipul with the mace, so nothing's going to change. There's going to be no dividing line between how you start being metapel now and the until the kavura happens. So that's what the Netziv writes. However, no one agrees. The Rav Moshe and Igros Moshe Yardeich El Kalvsim Reish Nun Gimel says that the Avelis is chal right away. And that's what most of the poskim seem to assume. In Pnei Baruch, in the Sefer Pnei Baruch, Simon Ches, in footnote Chav Dalid, he quotes from Rav Frol Shapiro, the son-in-law of the Netziv, and the Tshuvas Marsham, and the Tshuvas Chelkas Yaakov, and Rav Tzipesach Frank, and Rav Henkin, that they all disagree with the Netziv. Rav Shachter told me that we pass on like Rav Moshe over here, not like the Netziv. That certainly, if someone finds out about someone dying in a different city, and the kavur is going to be whatever, however many days later, that's like being Machzir Panim. If he has no intention of going, that's like he's going to be Machzir Panim, and he's already noheg the Avelus. Okay, let's get to some questions before we go further. Let's see, what was the last question I had? Okay, from Ezra. Doesn't the Bach seem to be the simple pshat in the Rambam who adds in Ve'enum Yoda Masai Kaver, which the Shulchan Aruch quotes? Yeah, that's a good point, meaning that he does add that phrase. Meaning that since Enum Yod Masa Yikover, he doesn't know when he's going to be buried, so that's why Mishiach Zupaneim. It could just be that he means Enum Yod Masa Yikover, and that's the Metzius, but that's not the Yisod Adin. I think in Beis Yosef he's pretty clear like that. I mean, so even though he's quoting that Lashon, I think in Beis Yosef he quotes from the Ramban that he's pretty clear like that. But yeah, I hear that Diuk. Ben writes, Rav Rimon writes that if the Kvura is in another Medina, the Shiva begins from the precise time the plane takes off. Interesting. That's not our minhag. He also recommends a burial in a different country. If you have when I say our minhag, not the way I've ever seen it done by JFK, meaning I've been to many, many JFK levayas. I've never seen that waiting for the plane to take off. I hear that, though, because air travel is notoriously unreliable. And until the plane is in the air, you don't have... It's true, even in the air, something can go wrong, and they may have to do an emergency landing or something. That's rare. But till the plane is in the air, I mean, certainly anyone who's ever traveled, till the plane is in the air, you have no confidence that it's going to take off on time. He also recommends a burial in a different country. If you have the ability to listen into the kavura by phone or online, one should not begin Avelis until kavura. Yeah, again, with that also, it seems that that is not the minhag. Even though Rav Shlomo Zalman said, Nati Basar V'yayin, okay, so for Basar V'yayin, I hear, but I don't think that that's the practice. I wonder if Rav Rimon, coming from an Eretz Yisrael perspective, or maybe the practice in other countries is different. I think in certainly what I've seen of Rabbanim in New York, that's not what they do, that they tell them to start the Avelis right away. Gabe, what would be the argument to begin Shiva from takeoff rather than from when they close the doors or pressurize the cabin or do one of the other steps leading up to takeoff? No, because I think things do come up. You know, there are 18 planes ahead of us on the runway, and then a storm broke out. I don't know. They have all these, oh, we just discovered that one of our engines doesn't work. You know, they have all these ridiculous things that happen last minute on with plane travel. Rav Rimon does not explain his reason. Perhaps there's something more emotional about watching the plane take off. No, I assume it's not the emotional thing. I assume it's being sure about it. Didn't Rav Shachter write in one of the coronavirus tshuvas that at least Meikar HaDin were Meikal both like the Netziv and his son-in-law, even though it's a Tati Desashi, meaning that he starts Shiva after the Kavura, but it ends 7 days after the death. He did write that, but didn't he say that it would be weird to people, so we don't do that? I thought he wrote at the end of that tshuva. I think I typed that tshuva. Let's take a look. Someone pulled it up. My computer is, I don't know. I'm not going to be able to pull it up right now. But if you pull it, I think he wrote that it would be a davar matmiya l'rabim or something. You're going to tell people to do a tarti desasri and it's going to be weird, so you shouldn't pass in that l'maisa. I think he said something like that. It could be wrong, so maybe you'll correct me. What's the minhag l'maisa in case of kavur and eretz shol when the krovim are going to still be virtually involved? Yeah, I think the minhag is still that they start Shiva earlier, even though they're going to be able to, zoom in to the Levaya, hear the Levaya on the phone or whatever. I still think the minhag is to be Mekel. Anyone find Rav Shachter's Shuvah? No?
I didn't find it, but I remember him saying the same thing.
Okay, so you think I might be right. Okay.
So.
All right, good. Shkayach. So if anyone finds it and we can confirm, you let me know. All right. What time is it? We have time still? Oh, not so much. Okay, maybe just a little bit further. The Rush quotes Yerushalmi that there's one big exception to this entire, I wouldn't even say exception, one big complicating factor to this entire sugya. So far it's been pretty simple, right? That all we had to be machalik between was if they're burying him close by or burying him very far away. So then, you know, it's pretty straightforward. The complicating factor is a gadol abayis. What happens if there's a gadol abayis? So gadol abayis could happen on either end. It could be the gadol abayis travels with the mace, or the gadol abayis remains behind. So does that change the math in terms of when people observe the avelus? So the Rush quotes Yerushalmi that when we say that the gadol abayis is when the gadol abayis the Yerushalmi says when the gadol abayis goes to be osik b'tzorche mace, we follow the gadol abayis l'chumra, that if he's going together with the mace, everyone counts with the stimas hagolel, meaning the shiva is going to end based on 7 days from stimas hagolel. And if he doesn't go with the mace, everyone counts mishiyatza mace, even those that, meaning everyone has to start avelus mishiyatza mace, even those that were holichim mace, they count mishiyatza mace. The Beis Yosef has a girs in the Yerushalmi that the people who travel do not begin the avelus until stimas hagolel, even if the gadol abayis remains behind. That's the Beis Yosef quotes that way from Yerushalmi. So as far as halacha is concerned, when the gadol abayis travels, so first off, well, the Rosh quotes a machlokas let's do it this way. Let's start with this. First, we'll describe what gadol abayis is, and then we'll get in because it's a lot of complicated factors in terms of the details of gadol abayis. So first, let's define what gadol abayis is. Ben Atwood puts, what is the definition of gadol abayis? Meaning there is a family member who's considered to be the guy, right? And everyone somehow is tufel to that, or girl, the man or woman, and somehow everyone else is tufel to that person. Who is that person? How do we define what is gadol abayis? That is a complicated thing. There are three basic shitos. Shulchan Aruch over here in Sif Beis writes, Misha darkon l'shloach hameis l'medina acharis l'kavro. Ve'edem yod masa yikavr meis yachshu p'nei milavos. Maschilin no shuvu shosha maschilin l'sa'abel. Va'holchim yimamon misha yikavr. Ve'im gadol ha'mishpacha ho'leichimo. And the gadol goes with the mace. Af elu shebekan eina monim ela misha yikavr. Even the people left behind only start the shiva when the fellow is buried. The gadol ha'mishpacha dahainu debesa samuch alei ugriri kulu basrei. There's your definition that the gadol ha'mishpacha, which means everyone depends on him and it's his decisions that carry the most weight. Loshna ach, loshna ben katan. It could be a 9-year-old, but if everyone listens, he's a little general and everyone just follows his orders. So it doesn't matter. He's a precocious little kid. V'yesh mishom, I think ben katan doesn't mean, then he writes, Yesh Mishom Vushe Ben Yud Gimel. No, Ben Katan means even if he's the youngest son. Sometimes you have a whole bunch of kids, but none of them are too geschickt, none of them could put anything together. And the youngest one, he's the one that knows how to take care of things. He knows how to, so he's the one running the whole show. He's the one that, so if he's someone that calls all the shots, so that's what the Shulchan Aruch says, that is the Gadol Abayis. But some say he's got to at least be Bar Mitzvah. So in Derech HaChayim, in Hilch Saveil Simin Vav, Halacha Tes Vav, he says, Gadol Abayis, well, Pia Omed, Kishimarioskin, Bizabin Ames, Hayuadvarim Nechtachin Alpiv. That whenever they're making decisions, it's his decision that they all follow. Everyone follows his Eitza. And even if he's not a Yoresh, Kagon Shimo Bakanvi, he mis Minaheges Habayas, he in a grace Gadol Habayas. Sometimes it's the mother, and the mother's there, and she's the one making all the decisions. That often happens. The father dies, the children are all totally deferred to the mother. all that's the way it should be. So she's the gadol habayis, and if the wife dies, the baal is the gadol habayis. And if her father or brother come, they would count together with the baal, with the gadol habayis. However, the Shach quotes the Shuvas HaRashba in Siman Taf Ayin Ches that an isha nesua who dies, the husband is the gadol habayis. Why? Because he's the one that's chayiv in the kavura. So apparently, Rashba has a different definition. Gadol Abayis means the one who's obligated in the Kavura automatically assumes the position of Gadol Abayis. So Chacham HaSadam points out, from the Shulchan Aruch, it sounds like not that way. It sounds like whoever you follow is his advice, and it doesn't have to be someone who's chayiv in the Kavura. According to the Shulchan Aruch, if someone is Ochal Eitzel Chamav and his wife dies, but he's supported by his father-in-law is a Gadol Abayis. According to the Shach, no, the husband is a Gadol Abayis because he's the one that's chayiv b'Kavura. We have al pipshut al shayich lois came for us. Is zeh pesachet molran? Ah, shkayich. Okay. The third shita is the tshuvas shemesh tzedaka. Yerodeh simin nun ches says a gadol abayis is the one that they're negrarim achrav. Like banav bnei beso, they listen to what he says, or somech al shulchano v'yoshvim v'darim bebeso, that they actually have to be household members who are supported by him. And he says that Magide Emes told him that ziknei iro lo donu din gadol abayis el bebanim l'gabayav o achim ketanim l'gabay gadol k'shayu och l'mitfus abayis, that it has to be that they're actually supported by the gadol abayis. Only then are they nigra basrayu. But brothers who each have their own homes, that one lives in Tinek and one lives in Cedars, that one lives in Eretz Yisrael, and they each running their own lives, they each have their own situation, then none of them are gadol abayis. Rabbi Kiveger quotes this in Sif Beis. Rav Moshe holds this way as well in Yardei Chelek Dalid Simon Samach Aleph Os Chaf Aleph, that gadol abayis is only children that are somech al shulchan aviyam, then the av is the gadol abayis. When the mother dies, let's say, or when one of the other children dies, the av is the gadol abayis. So essentially, to close for today, and we'll have to come back to this in terms of how this plays out, three definitions of gadol abayis. Three definitions. Definition number one of gadol abayis is the decision maker, the one that they turn to, the one that's running the show, the one that's making sure that the chevra kedisha is involved, the one that's really right. And usually there's someone that steps up to be that person. And very often you see the dynamics of a family. It like happens naturally. Like what do we do? And you see even physically, like when they're all in the room, they all turn to like one brother or something. Like they all they before saying anything. So that's how you know. Okay, there's your gadol abayis, according to the Shulchan Aruch. The second definition of gadol abayis is the Rashba, that it's the one who's chayiv b'kvurasa. And the third definition of gadol abayis is the one that is only if that's the person that supports everybody, that materially supports everybody. And it's important to be aware of all definitions, because for certain halachos, there is no consensus on this. And sometimes you have poskim that will say, this is a gadol abayis, this is not a gadol abayis. So it's important to be aware that as long as one of these shittos is being followed, that's okay. Also, for certain halachos, we may require that the gadol abayis be all of these things, and otherwise we might be mekel not to follow, or machmir, depending on the case, not to follow the gadol abayis, but we'll get into those details, Bezras Hashem, tomorrow. So everyone should have a great day. Thank you for finding that tshuva from Rav Schechter. Not perfectly clear to me how he is machria. The English says, an extraordinary circumstance may turn out that the tshuva concludes before the burial is able to take place. It's unusual, but halachically possible. Okay, yeah, I remember that one. Okay, everyone, have a great day.